Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 12. And Dave, we've got the final preseason game coming up Saturday, 7:30 against Heinz Field. A little different opponent in the sense that they got the Super Bowl losing the NFC champions Falcons last week. We saw a little bit of Matt Ryan. We won't see any of Andrew Luck, but really, as Mike Tomlin says, this is about what happens with your own team and trying to get your house in order. And the big news, well, the big news for you out there in Vegas is it's Mayweather-McGregor. The big news for the Steelers is all of a sudden, 22 positions that looked like they were relatively locked down the day they opened camp, maybe one is and potentially two, depending on how you look at it, are going to be determined based on what happens Saturday night.
Yeah, you didn't say final preseason game, did you? I thought maybe you did. Well, the lone real one, if you will take place Saturday night at Heinz Field against the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously the tune-up game, if you will. Mike Tomlin, no surprise, announced that Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown are both going to play. And how many snaps we don't know. Ben played 20 something snaps, I think, a couple series, something along those lines in the third preseason game last year. I think the same went for Antonio Brown. Here are the players that we expect to make their 2017 game debuts Saturday night: Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Landry Jones, rookie cornerback Cameron Sutton, Ryan Shazier, Bud Dupree, James Harrison, and Marquise Pouncey. Now, a few other guys such as DeMarcus Ayers, Mike Mitchell, a handful of these other guys that have missed time. Cinquez Golson, obviously. A handful of these guys. I think that list is down to about four or five players who probably aren't likely to play in this game. And, boy, they've come a long way in a couple of weeks here. We'll have to see what happens with Juju Smith-Schuster, whether or not he winds up playing against the Colts there. But, yeah, we're going to have a lot of guys that we haven't seen yet, a lot of guys we already know a lot about. But, Landry Jones, I don't know about you. I'm hoping he plays a full half in this game. I really think he needs a lot of work right now. We already know what we already got to see Joshua Dobbs a little bit. We'll probably see Joshua Dobbs quite a bit, perhaps the second half of that game against the Carolina Panthers. So I'd like to see Jones play at least a half in this game. And as far as your other point there about a few roster spots being up for grabs. Mike Tomlin said on Thursday there during his press conference that we now potentially have a two dogs, one bone situation when it comes to Ross Cockrell and Cody Sensabaugh. Sensabaugh getting some first team reps over Cockrell this past week in practice. Going to be interested to see which one of those two starts outside.
Ross Cockrell should be worried.
Yeah, he probably should. And you go back and you look at that preseason game against the Falcons. It definitely wasn't good. I like how Vince Williams came rushing to the defense of Cockrell, saying rush and coverage go hand in hand. And Vince said he is just as much as blame as Cockrell is for him not getting home in the blitz. But look, you got to stay a little bit closer on the outside there than Cockrell did. And then obviously Cockrell should have gave up a touchdown there on the drive earlier in the second quarter. The wide receiver, and both these were relatively no-name wide receivers there as well. I told Alex during the offseason I thought Cockrell would start the season as a starter, but I wasn't concerned. I wasn't thinking that he would end the season as a starter, and I most definitely didn't think. I didn't like his chances of being in a Steelers uniform in 2018, and looks like we're headed that direction.
Yeah, you know, all of a sudden you look at things and we go back to what we said in the preseason and during the offseason. You know, I thought William Gay was at risk. Well, the reason William Gay is going to make the team is because Senquez Golson hadn't played it down and Cam Sutton hadn't played it down. Sutton's probably going to make the team, but all of a sudden with Mike Hilton, the emergence of Mike Hilton getting some first-team reps in the slot, William Gay may not see the field all that much. Now, again, he'll probably start the season as the nickel corner, but depending on how the Steelers' pass defense plays, you know, we saw Artie Burns and Sean Davis kind of both work their way into the starting lineup as, you know, relatively quickly last year, after particularly Burns missing a lot of the preseason. There'll be an opportunity here for Cam Sutton. I don't know that there'll be any opportunity for Senquez Golson, but, you know, Cody Sensabaugh is a guy who's played in the league, and it'll be interesting to see if Cockrell starts the game on Saturday night. But if Sensabaugh's in there and plays well, you know, this is the type of thing. Once you've been put on notice, that means things are leaning the other way. I mean, Sensabaugh's had to come in and prove himself. Cockrell's the incumbent. He's played – look, he's been an average NFL cornerback in my eyes, you know, since the Steelers acquired him. He's been good around the ball. He has a pretty good nose for the football. He's done some things in creating some fumbles and just, you know, being – he's just obviously a smart player having gone to Duke. We talk about these other guys being smart guys. Well, I think, you know, his game from as Mike says, the neck up is solid. But he's not as physically gifted as the other guys. He's a little taller and being 6'1". He's just not at the NFL corner level. He's not an elite athlete. And, you know, now that he's had some struggles and Sensabaugh's, you know, done what the Steelers hoped, again, it would not surprise me if we saw this change made here starting Saturday night, and then it becomes permanent.
Well, here's the thing with Cockrell, and you know, I've said this a few times just even recently when you talk about playing your corners up, you're asking teams to take shots down the field when you only have one safety in the middle of the field. Of course, when you send a blitz like they did in that game against the Falcons there, Cockrell's never been a good, you know, press, you know, or mirror corner. And now the thing is, he, you know, really was slow to kind of get those hips turned get running with the wide receiver down the side there. But, you know, he's been a better zone corner, you know, really since he's been with the Steelers, and that's what he is. He has shorter arms on top of it. That doesn't help him. He's not an overly physical defensive back. However, he has had some of his better games against guys like AJ Green, you know, bigger wide receivers. But, you know, you can't count on being able to match him up on a slower, you know, more physical wide, you know, less shiftier wide receiver on a week-to-week basis either there. So, you know, a lot of people were worried, and I didn't understand why way back when the Steelers only placed an original round restricted tender on Cockrell, which is the bless you, which is the bottom of the barrel tender, if you will. A lot of people, you know, remember how many people wrote, "Oh, the Steelers are gambling with Ross Cockrell."
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It's not a gamble at all, and it, you know, it's just ridiculous what people thought. It would have been just a waste of money.
Right. And I wrote as much and said as much that I didn't think Ross Cockrell was going to get an offer sheet. And even if he did have got an offer sheet, David, at the time, it wasn't like anybody was going to break the bank. And in reality, another team might have just done the Steelers a favor of making a more, you know, perhaps, you know, locking Cockrell up maybe 2 years instead of one and lessening his cap hit this year along the process, you know. That's something to look at as well there. But at no time was I really fearful that Cockrell was going to get signed away to an offer sheet just because he had a right of first refusal.
Because he played.
Yeah, right.
I mean, look, there were, it was just ridiculous if people thought that. I mean, I got in that on Twitter with a couple of guys as well. I mean, there are free agent corners out there. There was, you know, you have the draft class. People were not going to beat down the door for Ross Cockrell. Now, having said that, I've been in Cockrell's corner for for what he's been asked to do and what he's delivered for what the Steelers got him. They got him off the waiver wire from Buffalo. He's a fourth-round pick. He went 199 or whatever he went, you know, way back when. And, you know, he's been a serviceable guy. Would you like to upgrade there? Yeah. I mean, look, the two positions on the Steelers' defense where there's some level of question mark. Look, Sean Davis and Artie Burns are young guys. I don't have any question marks about them. I don't have question marks about Hargrave. The two question marks are obviously Vince Williams and Ross Cockrell. Look, DJ Watt, James Harrison, they're fine on that side. I've got all the confidence in the world in Bud Dupree. So you've got two areas that where would you like to be better? Well, the Steelers obviously had the flirtation with Dont'a Hightower, which would have, you know, you can imagine throwing him on that defense. That adds means Vince Williams' depth. That just makes your team that much better. But that didn't happen. And then, you know, Cam Sutton's a guy. Cody Sensabaugh's a guy. They're trying to upgrade at that position as well. And now we're going to see. We're going to see if that follows through and how that plays out. And then the nickel's going to be the same thing. I promise you that, well, I would, let's put it this way. It's not quite Mayweather-McGregor odds, but I'll put heavy odds that William Gay is not the slot corner at the end of the season. He's not the starting slot corner. So, you know, hopefully we see these young guys continue to develop. And Cam Sutton's one of those guys. And he, you know, boy, do I feel bad for Senquez Golson now. Not just the injuries, but he missed a golden opportunity here. Had he been healthy and able to play, because you have to figure he being around for 2 years, he has a sense of what's going on. But he got to do it on the field, and he hasn't been able to do it on the field. But he really, you know, he's missed his chance.
Here's the thing here that's probably the most concerning. We're talking about a potential two dogs, one bone battle between Ross Cockrell and Cody Sensabaugh. I mean, think about that. You know, I mean, look, Sensabaugh, even if he went, let's say Sensabaugh wins this battle for this bone during the final 2 weeks of the preseason here, you know, his time's ticking as well. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He's not a
he is definitely, I agree, in the sense that he's a stopgap type of guy to come in. Now, if I remember correctly, Dave, correct me, he signed a 2-year deal, right?
Right, he did sign a 2-year deal.
Yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't expect next year, you know, I don't expect William Gay to be around next year. You know, maybe Cockrell and Sensabaugh are around, but Cam Sutton's going to be you know, here hopefully. And the Steelers will go back into the draft. I mean, they will go back into the drafted corner again. And you know, remember the conversations we had all offseason. I was kind of banking that Steelers didn't go offense until the third round. I wanted to see them go cornerback in the second round. Well, they flip those around. Look, you know, Juju looks like he could be an exciting addition to this team. But they have to continue to try to upgrade that position for sure.
Well, don't forget they drafted Brian Allen this year in the fifth round. So, you know, a longer guy, a rawer guy that, you know, we'll see what happens here. Now, is he going to make the 53-man roster? Are the Steelers going to carry seven cornerbacks?
Well, no, we know he's not making the 53, right?
Well, you
would bet hard on it now.
Here's the thing. And we haven't even gotten to the team acquiring Deshaun Phillips in a trade with the Redskins Thursday night here. But Deshaun Phillips, which way do you want? Let's talk about why the Steelers probably traded for Deshaun Phillips, and then we'll get into more of which corners, you know, looking to, you know, make the roster here.
You did a great job in the article on Phillips. You hit it right on the head. I mean, I'll let you take it because I 100% in agreement with what you wrote.
Okay, well, and I'm assuming you're meaning because we've written about four or five of them.
Look, the whole thing is Dave and I talked about, and I had even forgotten or didn't read or whatever, that you know, they're not having this cut down to 75, you know, after this game. And so what you call around and say, you know, I'm sure Kevin's made 20 phone calls to GMs and say, look, we've got some guys. Do you have any needs? We have guys who, you know, aren't going to make this roster. Do you have anybody? You know, we're looking for a cornerback to take a look at. You have a guy you want to move along. Can we help you out somewhere? And that's how those conversations go. And the Redskins needed an offensive lineman. The Steelers moved this kid Crowley, who they had signed because Mike Matthews, I think it was, got injured. They were short an offensive lineman, a center. So it's a guy who wouldn't be with the Steelers after, you know, if it had been a year ago, wouldn't be with the Steelers this coming Monday. So you move him for a guy that the Redskins figure isn't going to be in their plans at all. So the Steelers get a 10-day look at a guy, and the Redskins get a 10-day look at a guy. neither guy likely to make the team or have an impact. Maybe, you know, one of them gets to the practice squad. But that's what it is. It's you don't get to comb that waiver wire to look around. So this is why this happened.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the points that I tried to make is, you know, the comments made by Kevin Colbert a few weeks ago talking about why he was not a big fan of the doing away with the 90 to 75 cutdown for the sheer fact that now you don't, you know, you don't get to bring in some of these fringe guys that maybe you want to add to your practice squad. You know, go back and look what happened to Alejandro Villanueva. He was part of that 90 to 75 cutdown. The Steelers brought him in for a workout, and then when they went to set their 10-minute, you know, I forget if it was still 8 or 10 at the time, forget what it was, but when they set their practice squad that year, they signed him and then immediately switched him over to offensive line. So, you know, you would think that a guy like Phillips right now being, I mean, for first being traded straight up for Lucas Crowley, I mean, for a guy that's played 10 preseason snaps, I know you can't really look at what the tit for the tat was there, but nothing invested in Phillips right now outside of now you get 2 weeks. And I think this is really the reason. And let's not forget, right now it looks like William Gay and Mike Hilton are the only two healthy slot cornerbacks. We'll see what happens with Cameron Sutton, but one would think that if he plays this week, it might actually be on the outside as opposed to in the slot. So are you going to want William Gay and Mike Hilton to play all the snaps between during the final two preseason games? Probably not. That gives you a guy like Deshaun Phillips, who, you know, as Mike Tomlin said on Thursday, an NFL caliber cornerback for whatever that's worth. He's going to see some time in these final two preseason games, and if you like what you see, then you have a guy that potential be a practice squad. I don't think it's anything more than that. I will be shocked at this point, barring injury, if Phillips makes a final 53-man roster. Okay, and now let's circle back to the conversation here of we know Artie Burns is making a roster. Well, I guess we still think we know that Ross Cockrell is going to make this roster. Cody Sensabaugh is obviously going to make this roster. Cameron Sutton's going to make this roster. Mike Hilton's going to make this roster. I'm all of a sudden forgetting somebody in there.
Cam Sutton.
William Gay. Artie Burns.
You got them all.
Okay. You know, so the question becomes how many cornerbacks, you know, are you going to, you know, keep in total here? You know, you got.
Well, the shocking
thing
would be if Golson's not going, right? He's not going to play.
It doesn't sound like. Nah, he's not going to play. There's no way Cinquez Golson's going to play.
So, I mean, the only thing I can see, the only way I could see them going with seven corners, and I don't see any chance Brian Allen makes this team. I mean, Brian Allen is the prototypical practice squad player. Look, he's a physically gifted guy who's not ready to play in the NFL, and does a year on the practice squad help him and give him, you know, that experience? He's not going to get picked up by anybody. So, you know, you're not risking anything putting him in. The only thing I could see is if somehow Cinquez Golson is able to practice Monday, Tuesday, you know, walk through Wednesday, and they decide to just let him play as much as possible in that last preseason game, and he, however, he has the game of his life, and they decide, well, you know, he's worth keeping around to continue to have a look at, and they decide to carry seven corners. Or they make a really aggressive move and decide that, you know, they like his upside more than Gay's experience or Cockrell, and, you know, they make a move. But, I mean, this to me seems like it's as close to etched in stone as it is, as it could be.
Here's the thing is you go back and not, you know, history in certain situations and numbers really don't mean a damn. But when you go back and look at 53-man roster construction week one, going back the last several years, man, it's hard to find an instance where the Steelers kept 11 defensive backs in total, you know. That's a lot, you know.
Well, particularly when you're talking about 10 receivers and we've had the conversation about six wide receivers or 10 linebackers. I mean, six wide receivers, you know, four, are you going to keep three or four running backs? I mean, there are just too many other spots where you got you know, the similar issue that none of those guys are good enough to carry a seventh corner.
Let me ask you, would you even remotely consider keeping eight linebackers in total and then two others on your practice squad, assuming Moats was your number five outside linebacker, and assuming Steven Johnson was your number five inside linebacker?
You're getting rid of two awfully good special teams players right there.
Moats, not so much, really, David, to be honest with you. He had even lost snaps to Chickalo and a lot of those other guys. I mean, Arthur Moats, in my opinion, right now at his age, is not a huge special teams loss.
Okay, so, fair enough. Do you think Vince Williams is going to play much special teams this year?
No, and I would hope not, I mean, he's a hell of a special teams player, but once you get into that starter role, I don't think you want him running down there involved in car crashes all that much. So, you got a guy like L.J. Fort. You got a guy like Anthony Chickalo. You have a guy like, probably you can even play T.J. Watt some on special teams as well. So, I think you can make – look, the people have been making cases all offseason as to why this – and L.J. Fort, let me tell you, L.J. Fort has had a great preseason, not only as a special – or, not only as a inside linebacker, but as a decent special teamer as well, too. So I think if there's I think the line stops behind him, and then you're deciding whether or not a guy like Stevie Johnson is going to make this team. So with that said – well, I'll circle back again. Would you consider, considering Stevie Johnson was the fifth inside linebacker and Arthur Moats the fifth outside linebacker, would you consider only carrying eight total linebackers and thus maybe opening yourself up to carrying not only an extra tight end in, let's say, Jake McGee, but a seventh cornerback in, let's say, Brian Allen as well?
Neither of those guys are making my 53, and nothing can change that. And I don't think they're making the Steelers 53 either.
You're talking about McGee and Brian Allen?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'm not going to be if they cut Stevie Johnson, but I would be more inclined if they were to move Stevie Johnson to keep DeMarcus Ayers, because you think he might be able to help in the punt return game, even though we haven't seen him, or to keep, both Fitz and Niles Davis. So, you got four running backs. I think Jake McGee's at best just a guy. I don't think there's any upside with him. Brian Allen has some upside, but you're going to be able to get him to the practice squad. So I don't see any urgency to get him on the 53.
And I think you have to look at this too from an inactive list construction in week one as well too. Let's say you keep Arthur Moats, David, and you keep nine linebackers in total. We're gonna go ahead and cut Stevie Johnson. Are you dressing Arthur Moats in week one, or is he gonna be on the inactive list?
Well, you're gonna. Let's go the other way. We inactive one quarterback, that's one. Right. One offensive lineman, that's two. One defensive lineman, that's three.
Dobbs. Okay, let's read off the names here. Potential inactives: Dobbs, Johnny Maxey, either Maxey or McCullers. Take your pick, whichever one makes it, whichever one doesn't. Hawkins. Gerald Hawkins.
Hawkins, that's three. Cam Sutton's four.
He's likely to be inactive to start the season based on all the time that he's missed. So that's four.
We got to get to what? We got to get to seven.
We got to get to seven.
Let's just for our purposes say. I can't imagine. It's going to be interesting if. And who knows? But if they keep four running backs, how they manage that game day wise? I mean, is James Conner your number two back? I mean, is James? Kevin Colbert kind of blew him up a little bit on his special teams play, and Are you going to keep James Conner because maybe he gets three touches a game, or you're fine having Fitz Toussaint get those touches because he can help you on special teams? He's been in the return game.
You're dressing three backs regardless, and I don't think you're keeping four. I can't go along with that. So
who's getting cut? Niall Davis or Fitz Toussaint?
I don't know yet. It's probably going to be one of the two, though. I would keep Fitz, David.
I think they're going to keep four backs. I do. Now, that may not last all season, but I think they, for the Cleveland week, I'll bet they keep four backs.
I think I'm wrong, but I personally would keep Fitz Toussaint over Niall Davis, but that's just me.
Anyway, that's your fourth guy.
Who?
Right? Well, I kept four running backs, so I'm sitting one of them.
Okay, well, does it make sense to keep four of those guys and sit Toussaint or Davis?
Well, maybe not. I mean, the question is, would you sit James Conner for week one?
Hell no. I'd put him out there in special teams.
Well, you know Fitz is going to be on special teams.
I mean,
Mike Tomlin loves him.
We'll see.
All right, so...
Okay, wide receivers, Juju dressing week one with all the time that he's missed?
He better play this week. If he plays this week and is okay, he'll dress.
All right, and I'm assuming you're keeping six wide receivers. You're not dressing all six.
No, I can't see it, no.
Okay, so we'll just put wide receiver in the inactive list, so that's number five.
Well, what was number four?
Sutton was number four.
Okay, corner. Okay, yep. So that's five, and then you're going to find two more depending on the roster construction, right? It's
probably going to be a linebacker or two. I mean, who else? We got a defensive lineman. We got an offensive lineman on there. We got a corner. You're going
to. You know what? I'll tell you If Cody Sensabaugh's starting, is it possible that either Cockrell or Gay would be inactive? But, I mean, if Gay's just starting nickel corner, he's obviously going to be that. And they don't really have they don't have any confidence in Cam Sutton. He would have to show him a lot to be able to be the backup if something happened to Sensabaugh. So you're probably dressing Cockrell regardless, even if he doesn't win the job. So I don't know where that last body comes from.
Well, my point being, and that's why this is such a great exercise with the inactive list, because it rolls us back down to you're going to have a linebacker or two probably on that if you're carrying more than eight linebackers. And it goes back to, again, is it worth, because of down the line, what's going to happen to Stevie Johnson if he's on the street, David?
Probably his career is over.
Or he'll be near the phone, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see necessarily another team signing him. He's, he's coming off an injured season. He's, how old is he, 32, 33?
Stevie Johnson ain't that old, I don't think. No. Stevie Johnson is, he's got 4 or 5 years in. What is he? He's 29.
All right, I aged him quickly. maybe he gets a shot with somebody.
I mean, week one, week two, probably not. I mean, nobody's claiming him off waivers, I don't think. But, here's the thing. What's going to happen to Arthur Motes, let's say he gets cut?
They're in the same boat. They're fringe NFL guys. I mean, that's what they are. Look, I realize Chicolo's camp darling, and Chicolo did some stuff on special teams and everything, but let's be clear that Chicolo is pretty much just a guy, too. Now, maybe he takes the crazy step forward here in year three, but as we talked about on Wednesday, the reality is he's only going to get on the field other than special teams if somebody's injured. He might get a series here or there, but it's the Bud Dupree show on that left side. So, he's going to get, 85% of the snaps. So we'll see how it plays out, but the Steelers have done the dance a couple of times with Chicolo off the roster, and I agree with you that he's ahead of Motes. And you probably want to keep, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the – is this year three or four for him?
For who?
Chicolo.
This is year three for him.
Year three, right. So, you know, James Harrison's going to be gone next year. So, yeah, you know, you're not going to cut Chicolo. So, the answer is they can cut any of those guys. And honestly, to be honest, I would put Tyler Matakevich in that situation as well. I know, you know, we talk about him being a tackling machine, but he's not going to be a L.J. Fort's ahead of him. He's going to be one of your special teams guys. But we're talking, you know, Tyler Matakevich is not going to be Jerry Olsavsky. I mean, he's not going to be a guy who starts in the NFL. It's just not going to happen. So
That was David Todd that said that. When you send your hate mail.
Send a dirty red hate mail.
Don't send me no damn death threats, you people. Send them to David. There's two Daves, but that was David Todd, okay? Matakevich is making this roster, and he's going to probably be the first guy off the bench.
L.J. Fort, as you said, man, he's played great. And I don't know if it does matter by position. We talked about how on the depth chart, Matakevich was third on both sides of the depth chart. Now, I don't put any significance into those depth charts, but if there is any, then if you do, then that tells you something.
And plus, Matakevich is probably your best special teams linebacker right now, and especially if you don't keep Stevie Johnson, you know, as well there. So we just want to make sure the listeners know who said that. But, okay, let me ask you this, Dave. Let's say we were magically able to carve out one roster spot, but you had to choose between Brian Allen and Jake McGee.
Yeah, I know you're in love with Jake McGee. I'm not.
I think he's a. I think there's something there as a blocker. We haven't seen him do much of anything as a pass catcher. Hopefully, we will this week. But I think he's a special teams asset. I think if you, I think you can kind of carve out 52nd, 53rd roster spots for a guy like Jake McGee that helps you. You know, let's face it, Xavier Grimmel has not been great. When you look at a guy like Jesse James, you know, Jesse's obviously going to be your starter and get his snaps. But I think you could kind of carve out minor roles for guys like Jake McGee's easier than you could guys like Stevie Johnson or something along those lines. That's where I'm going with that. Make no mistake, Jake McGee is either a 52nd or 56th guy on your roster, if that makes sense. Okay, but I just think there's enough there that he provides value to the back end of the roster. Brian Allen, you know, merely a project still at this point, but there's a little something there with him as well too, and a guy that I think you put on your inactive list maybe if you can find a spot for him. In short, what I'm the whole direction I'm going with this is I guess I my arm can be twisted to only keep eight linebackers, or maybe even only keep nine linebackers in total. And it affords me the luxury to keep a very, very rare seventh cornerback.
I don't see it. I mean, I would take Allen over McGee, but I don't see either one.
Okay. So are you keeping nine? I mean, in other words, looking when you look at the roster now, I mean, if you're Danny Smith and you're Mike Tomlin, you're pleading your case to Kevin Colbert. Are you slamming your fist down on the table for both Stevie Johnson and Arthur Motes, or just one, or both, or what?
I'm not slamming my fist for any of those guys. I mean, if Danny's got a view, then if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm listening, and you know that's fine. But again, none of these guys. I mean, we're talking about the deck chairs here. This is the back end of stuff. You know, none of these guys should be significant factors in any way. You know, hopefully make some special teams tackles, but you know that's it. And then, you know, obviously that's the difference when you have young guys versus old guys. You know, the old guys, you know what their ceiling is. You know what they can do. You know, in a pinch. And, you know, I don't think we have any sense of what Brian Allen is. And you know, Jake McGee's never going to be a pass-catching threat. And I don't feel like he brings any kind of variety to the roster that, you know, gives you something that you don't have. So, you know, to me, he's just another body.
Right, and obviously you're going to probably make a bigger play to keep a fifth-round draft pick than you are a guy that you picked up off the street, you know, for a tight end. But, I mean, make no mistake, David, Xavier Grimble is, you know, remember all that hype over a year ago ahead of last year's training camp starting about all the hype on Xavier Grimble? It's disappointing, and we're talking about a guy too that was just a guy like Jake McGee, right? I mean, I don't think people should. I think there's obviously a good chance Grimble's going to make this roster, but I'm not sure it should be written in pen right now. Anyway, there, but it's funny. You're trying to carve out a fourth running back spot, and here I am trying to carve out a fourth tight end spot, if you will. Just goes to show you how things can change. I mean, would either of us been trying to do that 3 weeks ago?
I think the running back spot was, you know, it was always a little bit curious that, you know, they had four guys and they typically, you know, wouldn't keep four. I mean, I see people still occasionally bring up the D'Angelo Williams name. I mean, he's still out there, obviously. But, you know, you get down to this. Let's get to what's going to happen on Saturday. Who's the guy that you're most interested in? You know, give me two or three names of guys you're most interested in watching. And I'll tell you, for me, clearly it's going to be Cam Sutton. To see, you know, and to some degree Cody Sensabaugh, but we haven't seen Cam Sutton to see what he, and, you know, it's obviously guys offensively, it's easier to identify them in the action because the offense is going to dictate where the ball goes defensively. So, you know, we might not see Cam Sutton be heavily involved in it, but I'm very much looking forward to seeing he and Sensabaugh maybe, you know, and I know you're going to throw Landry Jones in, which is fine, but who are you looking at?
Yeah, we've worked together too long, haven't we?
Yeah, right.
Cameron Sutton, I don't think you can build a list without Cameron Sutton. I mean, obviously he hasn't played. He's your second of two third-round draft picks. So, yeah, Cameron Sutton, without a doubt, leads my list. Number two, you know me. Landry Jones, I'd like to see him play a half in here and play well. You know, he hasn't played so far this preseason, so I don't think it's at, you know, out of the question to ask to see that. James Conner on special teams, is that fair? I mean, you know, Mike Tomlin talked a lot about it during the press conference. Said, yeah, he rushed for almost 100 yards, but he's a JV when it comes to special teams. So I really am excited. I think he's a player to watch. I mean, we know what he can do with the football in his hands. So now I want to see what he can do without the football in his hands. Rounding out the list, I guess for me would be, you know, Bud Dupree's going to likely play. Like to see a little something out of him in this game. And I mean, I got a good sense. I think I know who Cody Sensabaugh is. So nothing there. How about Jake McGee as a pass catcher? Would you give me that one?
I'll give it to you. I don't know if we'll see it, but I'll give it to you.
I mean, or Jake McGee working with an earlier unit, if you will. So I think those are the guys. I mean, can we put Terrell Watson as a kick? I mean, not Terrell Watson. The other young running back there.
Williams.
Yeah.
Williams.
As a kick returner. You know, is it fair to go that route with him being as how he's probably going to return a kickoff or two after the punt return last week? You know, I think that Trey Williams, you know, I think it's fair to maybe look forward to seeing what he can do as a kick returner. But once again, if he's going to get a roster spot, it would have to fit your criteria of being a fourth true running back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not. There's no chance he's making the team. So,
is there any way at all Bo Toussaint and Nile Davis make the roster?
Yeah, I told you. I think there is. It's not, you know, if they like Toussaint enough as a special teams guy and they're not, you know, 100% sure that James Conner's their backup running back, then they decide Nile Davis that they're going to give him an opportunity to start the season as the kick returner, then yeah, they can all make the team.
I don't think so.
You know, maybe we've been talking about six wide receivers as a lock. Maybe, you know, if it's Nile Davis or Justin Hunter, you know, maybe it comes down to a decision like that, that some free agent guys they sign in the offseason, and maybe they say Justin Hunter's not going to dress on game day. So, you know, what's the point of having him on the team? So I don't know.
Let me ask you this. You know, I could have my arm twisted into going the keeping only five wide receiver route if we were talking about experienced guys here. But Juju's missed a lot of time right now so far. And yeah, I expect him to pick it up quickly. And yeah, I expect him to be integrated into the offense sooner rather than later. But, you know, to me,
missed a week, right? I mean, he got the concussion after the first game.
Yeah, but
missed that next week and then back this week.
Yeah, he missed some ankle injury time at start of camp and all like that. You know, I mean, he hasn't played hardly any, you know, preseason snaps so far. So, yeah, I just think it's a safer route being as – look, we saw what happened last year with this wide receiver group, you know, how quickly it dwindled away with Wheaton gone and Brian, of course, suspended and this, that, and the other. Then all of a sudden you're left with Kobe Hamilton and us having to praise performances by Kobe Hamilton in games. So, you know, do you really want to put yourself, you know, in a position, you know, and I mean, look at it. You were playing at one point Darius Heyward-Bey and Kobe Hamilton quite a few snaps along with a former undrafted free agent in Eli Rogers. Not, you know, no disrespect to him, but you know, that's where it got at one point there. So I think, you know, you try to keep six wide receivers. And you know, once again, we go back to the whole, is it three dogs, you know, two bones with Coates, Hunter, or DHB? Or is it really at this point, is DHB just an afterthought? And are we talking, you know, two dogs, one bone with Coates and Hunter? You know, we'll find that out pretty soon here. But, all right, anything else that we covered the trade with Deshaun Phillips? You know, another minor roster move. For the Steelers, they had to fill that 90th man roster spot. They signed Reuben Carter off the street. He was just recently waived, I think, by the Dallas Cowboys. He's a center. He might not even see a snap. He might play 10 snaps at most in the preseason finale there. So he's the newest number 90 body, if you will. Anything else stick out? What about Mike Florio's comments about Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers?
Could care less. For those who didn't see him, Florio said the Steelers have kind of poisoned the atmosphere a little bit in their dealings with Le'Veon Bell, and maybe the fans are going to turn against him. And it's just one of those things that I can't tell you how little I care about guys writing about stuff like that. Every guy in that locker room and every guy on the staff has been asked about Le'Veon Bell not being there. What do you expect them to say? We'd like to have him here. They haven't said anything more than that. I don't think anybody's really ripped Le'Veon Bell. You know, Florio said Pouncey came to his defense, but AB was kind of critical of him early in camp. It's just all nonsense. It's just nonsense, preseason nonsense. Bell has done everything within his rights, hasn't violated any team rules. Sure, you'd rather have him there than not there, but again, I don't think it's going to have any impact, and I thought the article was just, you know, whatever. Steelers answered the questions, and I can't even – okay.
Just Florio being Florio. Now, do you think teams with leaking contract info, did you know the reason behind that? You know, is there anything to be gained from that? Assuming the Steelers did leak the info, you know. We still don't know the guaranteed numbers, but I mean,
I think, you know, look, if the Steelers leaked the info, it's just to say that. We made a very legitimate, we think, real offer. And who cares? I mean, I don't have any problem with them leaking the info. It's not detrimental to Bell that he turned. Look, you look at it. He made a decision. We've talked about it. He made a decision. He bet on himself with not a great upside if things go well, and certainly some significant downside. But if he gets through this season, it's going to be all a wash at worst for him anyway, because he gets through this season, he gets his 12.1. He's going to get, you know, at least 12 next year if he has, you know, anything close to expected. And he might get franchised at 15. Who knows? But it's, you know, we've beaten this one to death.
And here's the thing. How many more people turn their nose away from Bell as opposed to, you know, not doing so once they found out what the contract numbers were or the reported contract offer? You know, people were already kind of hating on him, you know, after that July 17 deadline pass. I doubt there's a large subsection of the Steelers fan base that went from, oh, okay, the Steelers offered him 30 in the first 2 years and 42 over the first three. Well, that's it. I'm a Bell hater now, burning his jersey, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I doubt it went that way. So, no, I don't think the we see fans go through this with players, not only with the Steelers, but league-wide. You know, once the player gets out of that rookie contract and big money's involved, it always kind of alienates certain players with large groups of the fan base, yada, yada. Especially when you have one that maybe like Bell has already served two suspensions and all like that. I'll give Florio this. He knows how to tweak the nipples of Steelers fans, doesn't he?
Sure, he knows how to tweak everybody. And you know, again, just when we talk about this stuff and Bell, you know, football shape and all of that, remember, he was suspended last year, came back, and things seemed to go okay.
And that's what I kind of wanted to end with there. I wrote a pretty lengthy post on that saying that, look, at least Le'Veon Bell does have extensive start of season layoff experience. And, you know, I guess the question is, and here's what I posed on Twitter and after putting all of this out there, David, once a player gets it, okay, let's take Le'Veon Bell, for instance, all right? Once a player reports to training camp, let's say he goes through all of training camp, and let's say in Bell's case, he misses, and he has done this, at a minimum of 3 weeks after training camp, how long does it take a player to get out of football shape, and does he then need to get back into football shape, before playing again? Because I mean, if you look at it, even what was it last year? The span between game snaps from preseason to regular season snaps for Bell was 37 days. Okay, so did he fall out of football shape in those 37 days? And then if you go back to even his rookie season, the last time he took a snap during the preseason to the first time he took that snap in that game in London against the Minnesota Vikings was 41 days. We need to get some players on here to tell us what the cutoff is for football shape and when one gets in it and gets out of it.
Yeah. It's they get in it and out of it whenever, you know, it suits the narrative that who's ever having the conversation wants to go with.
That's basically it, right? Here's what I wrote at the end of that post. In short, you know, look, as far as what his production will ultimately be in the opener against the Browns, it's anyone's guess. If Bell isn't productive in that contest, analysts will say it's because he wasn't yet in football shape. If, however, he has a game like he did last year against the Chiefs, which was 144 yards on the ground, and you know, forget how many catches he had in that game, another five passes for 34 yards. I doubt many people will be talking about him deciding to sit out all of training camp in the preseason. So regardless of what we find out gets a player in football shape or not in football shape, whatever, it's going to be a result-related argument about Le'Veon Bell and football shape depending on what happens in that opener against the Browns, correct?
Yep, absolutely. Whatever suits the argument that people want to make. did you see the article? ESPN asked 50 guys who cover football to tier rank the quarterbacks. Did you get a chance to see that at all?
No. What was that on?
ESPN.com.
And it was.
They ranked 36 NFL quarterbacks and put them in five tiers.
Oh yeah, and that was the insider one, right? And Ben was up. Ben was like three or four.
Third. I don't know. I tweeted a little bit about it. I thought, you know, Eli Manning at 11, I thought was ridiculously high. I thought a couple guys were a little underrated. Dalton, I thought, was a little underrated at 16 or 17.
The new 2018 Ford F1.
I thought that was a little bit interesting. We have some open QB competitions that are going to be decided. It looks like the Browns, the Steelers' season opening opponent, have decided to go with DeShone Kizer, assuming he doesn't completely fall apart on Saturday. Looks like, and look, I love the Browns' pick of Kizer. I love the Browns' draft this year, getting Kizer in the second round. You know, you take a flyer on a physically gifted guy who didn't perform as well as you would have hoped, certainly a senior year at Notre Dame. But and if they have a bad year, they're going to be picking at the top of a very loaded quarterback class, along with potential free agents, Kirk Cousins, and one other big guy out there is going to be a potential free agent. But anyway, point being,
Jimmy
Garoppolo, right. So yeah, so you know, some interesting stuff going on.
Give me three bold predictions for the Steelers' tune-up game against the Colts.
Cam Sutton gets 40 snaps defensively. Ben doesn't play 12 snaps. And Antonio Brown catches the first ball of the game, and that's it.
Boy, they're not very bold, are they?
Chris Toussaint runs for 180 yards.
Yeah, what are you going to tell me next? The sun's going to rise tomorrow?
Maybe not in Houston.
Yeah. All right, I'll go with just because it would drive the fan base crazy. Ross Cockrell has an interception in this game. let's see what else would be feasible, I think. Tyson Alualu, 2 sacks in this game, and I need an offensive player here as well. Justin Hunter, a 40-plus or longer yard touchdown reception from Landry Jones. That ought to get everybody up in the air prior to the game happening there. So yeah, a lot of good talk, David. I'm interested to get some feedback on you know, from listeners, maybe from us trying to shuffle the roster that you know, the way that we did. Let us know. Are you willing, assuming Moats and Stevie Johnson are number 9 and number 10, would you be willing to keep only 8 linebackers in total if it gave you the opportunity to keep, let's say, Brian Allen as a 7th cornerback and one other player like Jake McGee? I think that argument's back open right now, or open if it never was open. So follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com, upper right navigational bar. And David and I guess, will be back on it Monday to talk about the recap and everything that happened in this game against the Colts. And I think we beat this one up. I think we made this podcast our bitch today, David.
We'll see if that happens Saturday night in the fight as well. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.